Blog Talk Radio. Everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. We just give honor to God on today, to you beautiful women of God, and the men in the house as well. Amen. We thank God for being here on this morning. Amen. Bow with me in prayer. Gracious and almighty Father, we just thank you right now. We come to you in the name of Jesus. God, we ask that your word will fall on fertile ground on today. Let the word spring up in our lives, O God, and bring forth 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. We give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Amen. Let it be all of thee and none of me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Timekeeper, can you just, amen. Y'all keeping time, right? Amen. Somebody get start raising. I need a 7 on that. Amen. To know when my time is up. Amen. Amen. We won't be before you long. But I want to say to each and every woman on today, amen, what Eve did, amen, should not affect you or me. Amen. What Eve has done, amen, that's past. The Bible declared that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Amen. So we're new creatures here today. And we, these new creatures on today, amen, for a topic, amen, we're going to be just what Eve's name represents. Amen. It represents, amen, giving, life-giving. Amen. As believers, great women of God, amen, we must be life-giving. Amen, world changers, change agents. But guess what? We won't be any of those things, amen, if we've not invited the Savior to come and rest on the inside of us. Amen, the newness of God, amen, being born again. Hallelujah. That's when we can become, amen, those change agents to those that are yet around about us. Amen. And God made. Amen. Man. And guess what? Then, amen, my scriptures, I'm just going to give them to you real quick. Amen. My scriptures, amen, are, amen, Genesis 2:23 and Genesis 3:13. For the sake of time, I'm not going to read them. Everybody knows the story. Amen, of Adam and Eve. First individuals, amen, that were made on earth. Guess what? These individuals that were made on earth, they didn't start out in an infant stage. These individuals were made as full-grown adults. And they were made, amen, by our God. Amen, guess what? God didn't, amen, after he made Adam, he said it wasn't good for him to be alone. Guess what? God already knew from the onset that he was going to, amen, make a male and a female. God didn't have an afterthought. Amen. He had a beforethought. If he created, amen, the animal kingdom that exists today, and then told Adam, you name them. Whatever name you give them, amen, that's what their name is going to be. And so guess what? Amen. God didn't have an afterthought. Amen. Considering, amen, the helpmate that Adam needed. He said, it's not good that Adam is alone. I'm going to make a helpmate to him. And so guess what? He makes this helpmate. Did not, amen, the Bible doesn't say again about him taking dust from the earth. The Bible says, amen, he took a rib from Adam. Amen. The first surgery. Hallelujah. First surgery that was ever done. And guess what? God didn't even use anesthesia. Put him to sleep. And when he woke up, he had a helpmate. Now, as a helpmate today, we're going to help you. As a helpmate today, amen, you as a God-fearing, God-loving, amen, individual, female. Now, guess what? We have males in the house. Amen. You got to do the same thing. The same thing the female has to do, you need to do it too. Have to. You're helpers to each other. Guess what? God didn't make you, amen, to dominate her, to rule her, to be the enforcer. God made you to love her, honor her, treat her just like God treats the church. Hallelujah. Amen. That you would even lay your life down as a protector. Hallelujah. So I'm saying to you on today, beloved, if we're going to be those ones that give life, we're going to have to speak life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Earlier she talked about influence for us as women. We don't even understand. Hallelujah. The Bible says a soft answer will turn away wrath. We got to get soft. We got to act like we know what we're doing. See, in the garden, Adam and Eve didn't know what they were doing. They were full-grown adults. But guess what? They didn't do what we are doing. We're able to walk out our destiny. They were created in an infant stage just like babies. So guess what? God knew they were going to make mistakes. God knew it from the very beginning. And guess what he did? He still gave them authority, gave them dominion. Why would he give them authority from the offset if he didn't know they were going to mess up? Right from the very beginning. When they sinned, it was Eve, amen, that was deceived. Hallelujah. Neither one, if you read the account, neither one took personal accountability. That's all God wanted them to do, was take personal accountability. And neither one took personal accountability. They both played the name game. We blaming it on each other. In your relationships today, don't take the blame game way out. When it comes to your spouses, don't play the name game. You did it, so I did this. Hallelujah. Your relationships will not survive. Amen. Will not survive. Jesus brought us back to our rightful positions. Our rightful positions from the very beginning were not made for us to be dominated. Our rightful roles was to stand side by side and walk in dominion and authority. When sin came, they were aware of everything. And before, they weren't even aware of their nakedness. So in closing, if you're going to be those change agents, then you can't call it what it is. In closing, you can't call it what it is. What you're going to have to do is call it like the word says it is. Now if God said I would take a sanctified wife, she would sanctify the husband. Amen. That's what, and he said, your children would even be holy. So in your household, if you got kids that are acting up, do what you think you can do. Hallelujah. But I serve a God that says, amen, that my sanctification would sanctify you, would make you holy. Husband, act as crazy as you want. You saved and you don't even know it. Hallelujah. And I'm calling you what God ordained you to be. Hallelujah. And guess what? You children, you wonderful children of the Lord, you're saved and you don't even know it. Change agents. You can't call it like you see it. Don't let your eyes fool you. But you call it how God described it in the Word of God. God bless you. Amen. How do you thank God for being a woman of God? How are you glad you're not the girl you used to be? How are you glad you're not the woman you used to be? Can we just loosen up this morning, just magnify God this morning? Can we just shake it off and pack it on our feet this morning? Can we just give God some praise on this morning? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise your tiredness off this morning. Praise that stiffness off. Let's just give God some praise. He's worthy of all the praise and the glory. And we magnify you, God, this morning. On this beautiful Saturday morning, God, we thank you this morning. We thank you for being women of God. We thank you that we're not the girls we used to be, God. We magnify you, God, because you're worthy on this morning, God. And we give you the praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just praise and I magnify God on this morning because God is worthy of all the praise. And he's worthy of all the glory. And he's worthy of all the honor on this morning. Hallelujah. I can't get enough of him, y'all. He's so good. And I thank God for this beautiful church. Amen. To the people that put this wonderful program together on this morning. Amen. I didn't know I was going to go first, but I was to be also ready. Amen. So we know not the hour nor the day. And the ironic thing is, Mother Hill, when she sent me the topic, I've been studying Samson and Delilah for the last 3 months. I've never personally met Mother Hill, so she had no idea that I had been studying this relationship for the last 3 months. God has had me before the relationship of Samson and Delilah. And on this morning, my topic is Delilah. Amen. Wow. And when we think about Delilah, we just leave it at the fact that of her being a harlot. Amen. And her being a mistress, because she was not Samson's wife. Samson had a wife, but she was not his wife. And you know, some of us have been in those situations ourselves where we're with somebody who's not ours. Amen. I know not today, because you're women of God this morning, but before you're a woman of God, we have found ourselves in those very same situations. But how many know that even in a bad situation, that God can come in a bad situation, he can fix some things in a bad situation? And we just thank God for his fixing power on this morning. And I'm going to be coming from the book of Judges, the 16th chapter. And the scripture reads from the first verse, "Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there. And he went in to her. And when the Gazites were told Samson has come, they surrounded the place and lay in wait for him all night at the gate of the city. They were quiet all night, saying, 'In the morning, when it is daylight, we will kill him.'" See, Samson was born into a family that dedicated him back to God. And he had a great calling on his life. Just like some of us, you know, we were tossed away, and you know, our families, our grandmothers, our mothers and fathers drug us to church. They drug us to Sunday school. They drug us to BTU. They drug us to YPWW. But when we got older, we decided to make our own choices, and we began to pursue and seek things outside of what we had been taught. And that's where Samson found himself at. He was a man dedicated to God. He had a great calling on his life. But as he got older, he began to go down. And when you read the whole book, every time Samson met a woman and engaged with a woman, he never went uptown to meet a woman. He was always going downtown. Am I in the house this morning? Amen. And some of us are the same way. Instead of us going uptown, we found ourselves going downtown. And so he went down, and he looked upon this woman, Delilah, and he was pleased with what he saw. Amen. And we all know how that works and how that can get us in trouble, these eyes and the natural desires. And he was pleased with what he saw, and he went unto her. And the topic that I want to leave you with on this morning is the power of a woman's influence. See, God gave us as women a great power
to be able to influence things and situations and turn things around in our favor. How many of you are exercising the power that God gave you in the way that God told you to exercise? See, the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman would tear it down. See, Delilah was just being herself. She was just being who she was. She was a prostitute. That's what she was. She was just being who she was. But she didn't realize the type of man that she had encountered, because Samson came to her in his broken state. You see, as women of God, sometimes we can be in relationships and our husband can maybe be in his broken state. But if you use your power that God has given you, you can take Pookie and turn him into a preacher. It's all about how you use your power. Delilah, she enticed him. And the scripture tells us that she laid him in her lap and began to rub his scalp and plait his hair. And she just began to ooh and ah him. And the scripture goes on to say that Samson loved Delilah. But it never said Delilah loved Samson. A secret that he had kept, that he had never shared with anyone. I want to talk about the power that you possess today as women of God. He never shared with anyone. This lady was able to lay him, his head in her lap, rub his scalp, pull on his ears, talk to him, and say, baby, tell me the secret of where your strength lies. He lied at first. He loved her so much, he lied to her. He lied because he thought that if he didn't tell her something, that she may call the relationship off. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever been there? Well, you lie to try to stay in a relationship. She was like, Samson, that didn't work. So he came back again, and she told her another lie. That didn't work. They said, if you really love me, if you're the man that you say that you are, if you feel about me the way you say you feel about me, boo, tell me where your strength lies. And Samson gave it up. Something that he should have never told anybody. Now, in this story in the Bible, this is not a positive thing, because sharing that with her would be the thing that took Samson's life. Right. But at the same time, it is also the thing that brought him back to God. See, in Samson's life, he didn't turn to God until the end, when he should have turned to God in the beginning. But I want to talk about the power you have today to speak life to that man in your life. Maybe it's just $10 an hour he's making a day. Amen. But you have a power to influence him to be a CEO. Maybe he's just sitting in the pews today. But you have a power to speak life into that man and say, baby, you praise like I ain't never heard nobody pray before. Maybe he's not where he needs to be when it comes down to the word of God. But you can say, baby, can you take that scripture, read that again to me? I like the way you explain that to me. The power of a woman's influence. Don't be so quick to throw in the towel. Don't be so quick to give up because what somebody else say. He may be driving a 1980 some car today, but if you can influence that man that one day that he can be driving a 2014 BMW, it's all about how you influence the man in your life. You can tear him down, or you can build him up. You can break him, or you can make him. Because behind every successful man, there's a praying woman. Behind every good home, there's a praying woman. Behind every good marriage, there's a praying woman. How will you use your power today? How are you going to use your power, women of God? Are you going to wallow in it? Post your business on Facebook about what he ain't doing? Are you going to tell your girlfriends about what he ain't doing, what he ain't got? I know ain't proper, but I'm going to use ain't today. Or are you going to begin to speak life into the man in your life? To say, man of God, you are anointed man of God. You are a faithful man of God. You are chosen by God. Do I like the way you pray? I like the anointing on your life. I'm impressed by what God is doing for you. I thank God for the job that he's going to give you. I thank God for this house that he's going to bless us with. I thank God for how you love me. I thank God for how you protect me. That's the power of influence. You can break him or you can make him. How many of you going to make him today? Make up in your mind that every word you speak, you're going to speak life. As a woman of God, God created us to speak life. I choose to speak life today. I choose to speak life to anyone that I am connected with today. I will not speak negative things to people that are in my life. I will speak life into them today. I will call the things that be not as though they were in them today. I will call them to rise up to be kings. Rise up to be the men of God that God called them to be. Because I have the power and I have an influence. I have the power. Raise your hands to God and say, I got the power. I got the power. I'm a vessel full of power. I'm a vessel full of power. I'm a vessel full of power. A power of a woman's influence. Y'all pray for me.
Woman of this house and all the people that make up the great fellowship of Shady Grove and the Baptist Church. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank God.
Amen.
It's indeed a privilege as well as a pleasure to be with you all for the fifth year. And I know you're wondering why she weeping. My sidekick, my number one cheerleader, is back in the hospital, which is my husband. And when I got this one, I thought about it. In 5 years of coming, it's the first year he's not with me. And then as the woman of God began to save men in the house, and normally my husband would be the only man in the house, because he goes with me every door that God opens for me to go. But you know what? I bless God. I bless God that he might not be here with me physically, but just like God is here with me, the Holy Spirit is here with me, Jesus is here with me, the man of God has already prayed over me, and I just thank God for the opportunity, Janice, to be here one more time. Now, I just want to introduce myself. My name is Rahab. And I want to share with you as Rahab my ashes. And how God took me to be. Now my name is Rahab, and my foundation of scripture is Joshua 2:1.
All right.
I lived in the city of Jericho. And let me tell you, I was so fortunate that my house was on the wall of Jericho. Amen.
Amen.
And see, even though my name is Rahab, I held no positions, no titles in the city. Okay. Even though my name is Rahab, I held no official title, had no title, no position, or did I? And as the women of God have already forestated, my name is Rahab, but I was a woman of great influence. And how do I know I was a woman of great influence? Because their husband came to see me. So if my influence, if I'm so bad, then how is my influence so great with all the men of Jericho?
All right.
Is it fair to say that maybe all their wives were silly women? as the woman of God just forestated. A wise woman does build it up, but a sinner woman does pluck it down with her hand. But not only with her hand, but with her but also with her mouth. But I'm Rahab, I'm the woman of influence. As the woman of God say, I pulled on your husband's ears. I don't want to say yours, because I don't want to give anybody any misconceived thoughts or notion, but on their husband's ears.
All right.
Their husbands laid their head in my lap.
Right.
But even though I had no position or an official title in the city of Jericho, in those days women were viewed as lower class.
Yeah.
But as harlot, yes, they called me that I was so graciously wore the title of, I was even lower than the average woman. But nevertheless, listen to my qualities. I had great influence, clever and witty, and gutsy, and I had style. Why was I gutsy? Because I was willing to take a chance. And when we heard about all the victories that God had given Joshua and the children of Israel, Jericho and the people began to sink faint in heart, because we already knew it was a matter of time for they came and took over our city. So when the two spies came, here come the king knocking on my door. Because if I'm a woman of great influence, when they came, who house did they know they came to? My house on the wall of Jericho. Have you seen the spies? Oh, no, king. I sought them, but they're no longer here. I lied to save the men that Joshua sent. Why? Because as I heard the victories, my heart began to melt. God began to take away the heart of stone and give me a heart of flesh. So when I heard of their victories, and I knew it was just a matter of time before they came to my house, I began to see God with my whole heart. And the funny thing about it, I didn't even know God. I just heard about the wonder working power of God, and that wooed me just as I had wooed them. So the victories begin to pull on the heartstrings. God, what can I do for you? Who do you need, God? Send me. I'll go. How many of us say, I'll go, and if it's time to go, we don't go? Hey, but she kept her word. Amen? And she hid the spies. She told them they went out the gate. So as they went, she hid them up on the rooftop and flat. And went back. Okay, they're gone now. Going out this back window, because I have the loft on the wall of Jericho. So my window's on the outside of the wall. Even though to get to my house, you have to come inside of the wall. So go on down and go on and store away for 3 days. Doesn't that sound like what our Savior did? 3 days and three nights. And then he resurrected. Hallelujah. Then 3 days they went on back and told them. But let me tell you how God took me. Because I told them, since I've showed you kindness, promise to deliver and spare me, my father, my siblings, and everybody got that cousin that we're not proud of, Uncle Bubba. Everybody got a Bubba. Everybody got a Pookie. Everybody got a Nene that you don't want to deal with, but that might be your connection to your lifeline. So here I am, Rahab, the woman of influence. I let down the red scarlet level. When was the last time you let out the lifeline for somebody? And then not only that, remember my loft was on the wall. When was the last time you've been a watchman on the wall for anybody? And then I'm influenced. When was the last time I encouraged somebody to go on just a little while longer? So as he transformed me, I became Rahab, the Joseph of my family. As he transformed me, I became Rahab, the rehabilitator, because he rehabilitated my life. As he transformed me to beauty, I became Rahab, the restorer, because I not only had I threw out the lifeline for the spies, I had thrown out the lifeline for so many husbands. So even when we think, women of God, that we're not being used, know that we're being used. So my beauty is, woo! I am in the hall of faith. Hebrews 11:31. And not only that, I'm in the lineage of Jesus, because me and Shalom gave birth to Boaz. How many of you crying about your Boaz? So guess what? Your mother-in-law just may be me, Rahab the harlot. Don't despise small beginnings. And that's how God takes us from ashes to beauty. God bless you. God, to me by in prayer, please. Father God, I thank you this morning, oh God. I thank you for my life, my health, and my strength, oh God. I'm asking right now, God, let something be said, oh God, that would teach your women on today, oh God, that who I am and who I'm representing, oh God, is nobody but you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. First, give all praise to God, to Pastor Morgan in his absence, to my own husband, Ella Scott. Amen. To the First Lady Morgan, I just thank God for being here. I am representing Mary Magdalene this day. And as I was looking at Mary Magdalene, a lot of us get confused because there are so many Marys in the Bible. Amen. The scripture that Mother Hill gave me was, I wrote it down, but I'm actually coming out of Luke, the 8th chapter. Starting at verse 1, which reads, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the King of God, and the 12 were with him, and a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmity, Mary called the Magdalene, of whom had come 7 demons." As I was looking at that, I was thinking about Mary, and Mary was a person who, she lived in a town called Magdalene, which was a good fishing industry. And that fishing industry, they sold fish to other countries. But Mary had a serious illness. She really didn't know what it was, but she knew she was sick.
Yes.
And she heard about this man named Jesus that was going about doing miracles and doing wonders. And some reason, I don't know how she got in contact with him, but she got delivered from her 7 demons. And at that point in her life, she realized, like, hey, this man got some power. He got a personality. I want to join up with him. So as she went on, she got so overwhelmed with Jesus by being cured that she followed him the rest of his mission journey. Now the part I really liked about the story of Mary Magdalene, no matter all the women that was in the Bible that followed Jesus, she was that main supporter. She was there. And as I was going on studying and looking at it, and I saw that when Jesus went to Calvary, and I know you've seen pictures, all the women that was around the cross, Mary Magdalene was the closest.
Yeah, yeah.
She was the closest out of all the women that was there at the cross. And just think about it. She stood there, and by her being the number one supporter of Jesus, and she followed him, and she was happy because God healed her illness, she was like, my God, she heard everything that Jesus said. Even all the women were back, kind of far back, but she was so close that she heard every moan, she heard every groan, she heard every cry that Jesus said. But then the thing I liked about it, when Jesus died on the cross and she was a Jewish woman, the Jewish women's job was to prepare the bodies for the burial. So she, as being somewhat of the leaders of the women group, because she kind of kept all the women together that was with Jesus, by her being a leader of women, she was kind of entitled to go do this preparing for Jesus' body. And as I was looking at it, thinking about, okay, she probably went and got all her stuff.
She went and got her linen.
Yeah.
She went and got her pipe. She went and got her oil.
And as she was going to the tomb, when she got there, the tomb was open.
Yeah.
And as she looked in it, she said, oh my God. Just imagine yourself, you know Jesus done died. This man done healed you from 7 demons.
Yeah.
And you walk up there and look in there and say, oh, hey, hold on. Hold on, ain't nobody in there.
And I can tell you, she probably fell
to her knees. But as she fell to her knees, the angel was sitting there and said, why are you weeping? Why are you weeping?
Yeah.
Why are you crying?
Yeah.
I'm not going nowhere. And then she was saying, well, in her mind, she probably was thinking, well, maybe this is the cemetery keeper. Maybe this is the ground keeper. But I know. And the first thing she probably asked him, okay, did you take him out of there? Where is he? She got an attitude problem by now. Where is this man named Jesus?
who healed me of my illness, who healed other people. Where is he? And tell me now. She's probably rolling her neck by now saying, okay, find this man. Yeah. I need him.
Yeah.
So he was good to me.
Yeah. All right.
But as she kept talking, Jesus called her name.
Mm-hmm.
He said, Mary. Oh, hold on. What that just called me? I don't know who is this. He said, Mary. And she turned, I guess that she knew his voice. And she turned and said, and she spoke Hebrew, she said, Rabbani, which means teacher.
Yeah.
In other words, God, Jesus, there you are.
Yeah.
Where you been?
Yeah.
And I can imagine she probably ran in here and one of her teachers, no,
I
have
to send it to my father.
All right.
Let's go.
Go.
And tell
my brother.
Yeah.
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 And this is thinking, she had all her stuff getting ready to bury it. She had her linen ready to wrap him up.
Yeah.
She had her oil and her spices ready to get him ready.
Yeah.
But he told her to go. So now women, there's a thing said, now run tell that.
Yeah.
He told her, now you run tell that.
All right.
Yeah.
So women, run tell that,
run
that Jesus is alive.
Yeah.
Don't sit on run and tell
yeah.
that Jesus had done for you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. The women of God have preached, amen, this morning. Amen. As I was walking up here, my soul is already excited. Amen. But how many of you know my time is just about gone? Amen. 7 minutes, it ain't very long. Amen. My sister, amen, on this morning as we were coming over, she said, her husband said to her, honey, you going all that way for 7 minutes? Amen. But how many of you know, amen, when God is in the building? Amen. It may not even take 30 seconds for him to do, amen, what he needs to do. Amen. And if I don't even preach, amen, do know that the women that have gone on before me, they done preach. Amen. And like I said, my soul is happy. Amen. And woman of God, we want to say to you, amen, that your husband is not here with you. Amen. You got some sisters here with you on today. Amen. How many of you know the Bible declares how beautiful and how sweet it is for brethren to dwell together in unity? Amen. I believe we unified on this morning. Amen. It ain't no little eyes and big U's or none of that stuff. Amen. How many of you know when we get in God's house, it's all about him? Amen. On today, amen, I'm supposed to be bringing you glad tidings from the Ananias and Sapphira story. Amen. But before I do so, I just got to tell the Lord a couple of things and then we can go on. Thank you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I worship and adore you. Just want to tell you, Lord, I love you more than anything. Oh, more than anything, Lord. You've been so good, Lord, more than anything. Bless the name of the Lord. Amen. Y'all, I'm already at 3 minutes. Amen. But I just had to tell him, amen. Amen. Now, sometimes I don't think we take the appropriate time. Hallelujah. But as I rose this morning, amen, I was thankful. Amen. How many of you know, amen, we didn't have to rise on this morning? Amen. And I just want to bless God for Mother Hill. I'm telling you, y'all got somebody on them phones calling us and letting us know about what we have to do on today. Amen. Mother Hill called, and I'm telling you, she's her own welcoming committee. Amen. I felt welcome, and I hadn't even entered into Shady Grove. Amen. But she cared for us and made sure, amen, that we knew our topic. And I bless you, woman of God. Amen. God is going to do some things for Mother Hill. Amen. How many of you know, amen, that we're not as women as Mother Hill? Oh, yeah. I'm going to flip it now. Hallelujah. I'm going to my topic. Amen. I done looked at my scriptures, y'all. They over in Acts. Amen. And my scriptures are talking about Ananias and Sapphira. But as I began to look at the message, amen, I said, Lord, what would you have me to say on today?
All right.
Amen. And then he dropped in my spirit a good name. Amen. How many of you know when I looked at the text, Ananias and Sapphira, amen, I really wanted to tell Mother Hill something. Amen. Because I was saying to myself, Mother Hill, how am I going to talk about some liars? Why do I get picked to talk about the life? But let me tell you, the reason I got picked, amen, how many of you know a lot of us done been liars before we became saints? Hallelujah. I can tell you about, amen, survival. Oh, and I'm going to tell you something else. Let us connect with the wrong person, and we'll do more than just lie. We'll steal, we'll kill, and everything else. Let me tell you, they had some kind of connection. And this connection caused them to be in cohesion with one another. She never did, the word never said one time that this woman said anything to her husband about not lying. Hallelujah. They were in cohesion. She was okay with it. And in her being okay with it, it caused them their death. Women, we can't hook up with everybody. No, I'm not one of them that's going to come and tell you, you get Pookie and bring him in the church and get Pookie saved. I'm not going to tell you that. Honey, you pray that Pookie is right when he comes in here. Let me tell you, we do that thing that, oh, whatever's on the inside of me is going to transform the man. Hallelujah. It's Jesus that's the transformer. Hallelujah. Women, we are not the transformer. Hello, I done had two husbands prior to now. Hallelujah. And I wanted to promote change. Guess what I did? I promoted some change. Hallelujah. But how many of you know when you change him, he can change back? So guess what? He lived the way I wanted him to live for about 3 to 4 years. And then what did he do? He flipped. And then guess what he did? Hated me because I was changed. So then the devil used him to steal, kill, and destroy concerning my life. Hallelujah. I'm up in the church worshiping the Lord, but didn't nobody know I was taking punches at home. Hallelujah. We can't link up with everything. Hallelujah. And what did that do? It caused me, amen, to waste time getting to my destiny. Hallelujah. But how many of you know when you link up with the right somebody? Hallelujah. The Bible declares, weeping may endure for a night, but all I got joy today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So when we look at these scriptures and we begin to snarl up our noses, amen, at these women, what type of name do you have? Hallelujah. The Lord declared to me when it's all said and done and they have to eulogize you. Hallelujah. What are they going to say about you? Hallelujah. Will they be able to say that you've been faithful? Hallelujah. And you came when you didn't have no man to come with you. will they be able to say you are a mother to your children? What will they say about you? Women of God, it's not just about being in here. Because I'm telling you, I done been in here. And I done been in here with a so-called saved man, but I thought he was something else. So guess what that did? It provoked me to be something else. Hallelujah. This is just a place, amen, that God moves us to another place in here. But unless we live saved outside of here, what they gonna say about you, it ain't gonna be good. Hallelujah. How many of you know that we're supposed to be decent and honor? I'm going to my seat. God bless you. Amen. The women of God have preached, amen, this morning. Amen. As I was walking up here, my soul is already excited.
Read, was it not? A scripture of joy. They praised, they laid, and Hannah conceived. Hannah was happy. That was not how Hannah's story began. Hannah was a barren woman. God closed up Hannah's womb. Hannah shared her husband. Not with just any woman, a beautiful woman. A beautiful woman with a mean spirit.
All right.
A beautiful woman with a mean spirit that taunted her day in and day out. In Bible days, if you didn't have any children, it was something wrong with you. And you know, women are emotional people. We don't like for people to tell us about what's wrong with us, especially on a daily basis. We're walking around living in the same household on a daily basis with you, and you talking about you can't do this and you can't do that, and he don't love you like he loved me, and look how pretty I am, and I'm giving him all these boys. This is going to be our inheritance. What do you have to offer? Well, since we got some young people in the house, I got the same thing that you had to offer, just that I ain't producing nothing with mine.
All right.
Now, Elkanah loved both his wives, but you know how women are. Just hearing the words is not good enough for us.
Yeah.
We want action.
Yeah.
I don't care if you lay with me every night. If I ain't got nothing in my belly, I'm still empty. Because the people on the outside are looking at me, and they're saying, that woman is poor in spirit. Now, Hannah, being a praying woman, she didn't give up. She didn't let that deter her. She took her concern to the Lord, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed. And Hannah continued to pray while everybody mocked her and talked about her and told her that her praying was in vain. But Hannah continued to pray, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed, and Hannah prayed some more. Do we have a prayer life? The Bible tells us that we should pray without ceasing. How bad do you want what you're praying for? Do you really need what you're praying for? Have you really sought the Lord and asked him, is it his will? Well, God saw favor upon Hannah's life, because after she prayed and she continued to pray and she didn't give up, God blessed her with a son. And Hannah told God that if she blessed him, blessed her with a son, she would give him back. Now, we have sons and daughters, and they don't act halfway decent. And we call them our little babies. And we wouldn't trade them for anything in the world. Now, Hannah went all this time without having a son, and she gave it back to the Lord. It takes a lot to give up your child. if you're a true mother. But Hannah trusted God. So without faith, what does the word say? It's impossible to please God. Without faith, your prayers mean nothing. You first must believe that God is going to honor you. You must first believe that God is who he says that he is. And you must believe that when God says he's going to do something, it is going to pass. So after Hannah prayed and after Hannah was blessed and after Hannah returned her son to God, her son had an awesome life. So God gives us things that we don't even expect. She asked for a son. She didn't ask for any particular kind of son. We have the nerve to go to God and ask for the color, the size. We'll give dimensions. We'll even tell God what not to bless our neighbor with because we want ours first. But you know, just keeping it real, God, I already knew you was going to say that silly stuff before you fell on your knees. But God wants us to honor him because God always honors us. When he says he's going to do it, he does it. And I'm going to honor the timekeeper. But I just want to leave this one thought with you. Praying without ceasing. Trust God with all your heart. Right now I'm living in the just shall live by faith.
Yeah. Right now. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening tonight. Praise God for your support and your participation. We'll see you next Monday, same time, same place, from 8 to 9 p.m. on My Sister, My Friend. God bless you.